From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Salmon, salmon, salmon. It's that time of the year in Alaska as fishermen gear up and head out to the grounds for that staple of the fishing industry. Kodiak's sockeye season opens early thanks to a roughly 46,000 fish passing through the Karlik River Weir all in one day. The fish must have been crammed into the river like sardines in a can. Out west, Bristol Bay is the world's largest sockeye fishery and is the source for the bulk of wild-caught red salmon exported out of Alaska. We'll look at predictions and projections for the upcoming season. On a sad note, the Copper River King fishery claims the life of a Bothell, Washington man. And we finish up with a different kind of Coast Guard story. Not a rescue, but a recycle. One of the Coast Guard ships that made fisheries patrols here in Alaska was transferred to the Vietnam Coast Guard. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Kodiak's sockeye season will open 10 days early thanks to a whopping 46,000 fish that rushed up the Karlik River through the weir on Monday. ADF&G's Kodiak Commercial Salmon Area biologist James Jackson explains that the island-wide commercial opening is based on activity at specific rivers.
In June, around Kodiak, the majority of the commercial salmon fisheries are managed based on the local sockeye runs, and the four big sockeye runs are Karlik, Iakulik, Upper Station, and Fraser.
The biggest of those is usually the Karlik River.
And Karlik early run has come in like a bang this year. There's quite a few fish. We had a one-day count of nearly 46,000 fish yesterday, which basically puts us nearly 10 days ahead of where we'd like to be. So we're going to open on June 1st. And the last time I think we did that was 2005. So it's been a while since we've opened that early. So we'll see what happens.
But the waters get muddy as we move on into July and onto the bread-and-butter pink salmon fishery. As this week's program was being assembled, state employees were on a pink slip watch, fully expecting to get layoff notices on Thursday, June 1st. It is the pink salmon season that could be hurt most by those state pink slips. That's because most of Kodiak's fisheries are managed based on how many fish get up the rivers. Without people to work the weirs, there can be no accurate data on how many fish escape upstream to spawn.
That's correct. Most all the fisheries in Kodiak are managed based on local abundance. And if you don't know what the local abundance is, it's going to be really difficult to keep the fisheries open.
Kodiak's pink salmon harvest projection is in the range of 28 million fish. Jackson refers to it as an order of magnitude larger than the early sockeye season, both in terms of numbers and the importance to Kodiak. Last year, Kodiak's pink salmon was a disaster, the effects of which rippled through the fishing community and the local economy. Jackson can't say when, but Fishing Game has set a drop-dead date on which the pink salmon season will come to a screeching halt if no state budget is approved.
We're going to get to a certain date, and if it looks like we're not going to have a budget in July, then we're going to have to open up all the weirs and bring those people back because they can't be working out there for free.
James Jackson, Kodiak Commercial Salmon and Herring Area Biologist.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
Alaska's Department of Fish and Game is predicting a 41.5 million total sockeye run to Bristol Bay this season. That should allow a harvest of more than 29 million fish, which is down a little from the past 2 years. The market seems eager for this year's harvest, which could translate to a higher price. As KDLG's Nick Cellino reports from Dillingham, there is cautious optimism ahead for this year's fishery, the largest of its kind in the world.
Bristol Bay had back-to-back record-breaking sockeye runs in 2015 and 2016. This year, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is predicting a closer-to-normal return for the world's largest sockeye salmon fishery. ADF&G's 2017 commercial salmon fishery outlook estimates a total of more than 41 million sockeye in the bay. Managers are hoping to see about 12.5 million escape up area rivers to spawn, leaving just over 29 million for the commercial harvest. ADF&G area biologist Tim Sand says it'll be a while to see how the actual run compares to the forecast.
We'll start getting some data from Port Muller test boat around the 10th of June. Our sonar camp will be deploying. They'll go upriver hopefully around the 3rd of June and be counting by the 5th of June. So that'll be our really first data point.
Sands manages the Nooshiegak and Togiak districts of Bristol Bay, which is divided into a total of five districts. More than 8.5 million sockeye are estimated for the Nooshiegak district run. Naknek Kwijak is expected to see more than 16 million. Igigik's forecast is more than 10.5 million. Ugashik's is 5.5 million. And Togiak's forecast is for just over 500,000 sockeye. These ADF&G predictions run very near the average for each district respectively, with no notable disparity between projected totals and mean averages. This is a positive for the continued sustainability of the run if it holds true to the numbers, as all systems are expected to reach escapement goals. Travis Ellison is the area management biologist for the Naknek Kwijak District.
7.8 million for the Kwijak, 4 million for the Lagnek, and 4 million for the Naknek. That's something to look forward to. That's good, the middle of the road.
Paul Solomone manages the Igigik and Ugashik regions.
A very weak forecast would mandate that I be conservative. A real strong forecast would suggest I can be aggressive. But what we have right now, Igigik and Ugashik are actually pretty good forecasts. So that's going to allow me to start the season without too many worries.
Bristol Bay run will likely continue to supply the lion's share of wild-caught Alaskan salmon to the market, as the forecast is down statewide. The Upper Cook Inlet, for example, anticipates only about 4 million fish, well below its 10-year average. But a decline in statewide sockeye totals could mean an increase in the price. Andy Wink is senior seafood market analyst for the McDowell Group. He says the world salmon market successfully absorbed last year's record season and could be left wanting if the returns for 2017 are as predicted.
With Bristol Bay down, I think that's equating to about a 23% decline in the Alaska sockeye forecast. When we look at what Alaska's forecast and Russia's forecast is, it's down about 18% or approximately 70 million pounds. So that's a pretty significant decline. You know, I think the expectation is that, you know, price will probably go up somewhat to offset that.
But salmon runs are historically difficult to predict. The biologists who put together data for the outlook have miscalculated the run size by a yearly average of 10% since 2001 and have been off by as much as 44% in recent years. ADF&G releases the annual forecast as a guideline to fishermen and processors, but Tim Sands admits the statistics are not an exact science.
It depends on how you look at it. If you look at it for the whole of Bristol Bay, I think they've been fairly close. If you look at it by river system, it hasn't necessarily been as close. You know, some are below and some are above, but it averages out to pretty close.
The ADF&G forecast estimates a high number of average-sized fish to be swimming in this average-sized run. The data shows more than 60% of the run to be comprised of five-year-old fish, which tend to be middleweights as far as sockeye go. However, the age class forecast also predicts a large majority of those five-year-old fish will have spent most of their lives in the ocean, which could help pack on a few ounces to the overall weight of the run.
That's, you know, 50-50, large and small. A typical year, a two-ocean fish weighs about 5 pounds, and a three-ocean fish weighs about 7 pounds.
That's Icicle Seafood's fleet manager, Warner Liu. Liu is a longtime expert on the Bristol Bay run. He says there are many factors to consider when trying to predict the size of a salmon run. Factors, he says, which supersede yearly averages.
To me, the 10-year averages don't mean anything. Every year is different.
Another consideration is the timing of the run, which has been a little erratic over the past few seasons. Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation President Norm Van Vactor says the timing of the run can make or break the season for the fleet and buyers both.
If that run shows up fairly well distributed throughout a time stratum that allows processors and fishermen to catch the fish in an orderly fashion, allows processors to put that product into product forms that make the most money, that's all great. But as we all know, Mother Nature doesn't necessarily play by our wishes and our hopes.
All in all, there is a bit of optimism heading into another season at the world's largest sockeye salmon fishery. The run is projected to be strong but manageable. The price may trend up. The fishermen are chilling their catch, and timely industry contributions have closed the state budget gap funding the fishery. But there are many variables beyond the control of fishermen and processors which remain to be seen. Another reason why they call it fishing and not catching. I'm Nick Shalino, KDLG News.
The Copper River claimed the life of a commercial salmon fisherman this week. Alaska State Troopers report that the body of 58-year-old Clifford Johns of Bothell, Washington, was found in the surf near the river's delta on May 25th. A Coast Guard helicopter crew out of Kodiak spotted Johns' body after his unoccupied boat, the Dances with Clams, was observed driving in circles. Troopers say Johns' body was recovered and sent to the state medical examiner for autopsy. His vessel was taken to Cordova. A Coast Guard spokesman said the Hilo is one from Air Station Kodiak that was forward deployed to Cordova. Hilo crews are routinely sent to Cordova to be closer to the grounds during fishing seasons. And we finish up this week with a story about recycled ships. A former Coast Guard cutter that frequently visited Alaska on fisheries patrols has been transferred to the Vietnam Coast Guard. In a ceremony in Honolulu last week, the Coast Guard cutter Morgenthau changed owner countries. The Morgenthau was in Alaska last year on her final Bering Sea fisheries patrol. She was one of two Coast Guard ships to first take women to sea back in the late 70s. The ship, which will be renamed, is expected to take on many roles similar to its job in the U.S. Coast Guard, including search and rescue and maritime readiness.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
And that's it for this week on the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Nick Shalino at KDLG in Dillingham and Daniel Bross at KUAC in Fairbanks. As always, a big thank you to everyone who makes this program possible each week, including you, our listeners, and all the radio stations that air our show. Be safe fishing. Remember that we and your family want you to come home safely. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.